welcome all of you to this meeting at Portfolio Committee of Public Enterprises. Welcome to all members. I'd like to welcome the Minister, the Chair of the Board of SAA, our new CEO, and all officials, and members of the media who are present. Do we have any apologies?
The only apologies we received is from Mr. Nana and Mr. Dikobo. Ms. Michael will be joining us in a few minutes or so.
Okay. Those are the minutes of the apologies. We have only one item on the agenda, except besides the adoption of our minutes for the previous meeting. This is a moment that especially members of the Portfolio Committee have been waiting for, where we will receive turnaround strategy for SAA. In the last meeting that we had with SAA, we emphasized the importance and the urgency of SAA finalizing on its turnaround strategy. We also emphasize the importance and the urgency of us, or SAA, having a permanent CEO, and that the board has a permanent chairperson, so that we can have some assurance that the people who are there have the authority to drive and guide SAA as it does its business. We'll do a quick introduction of who all are here, and thereafter we will then have the presentation of the turnaround strategy. To start here, my name is Peter Maluleka, and I'm going to be quickly.
Jisan Mutumi, Committee Secretary.
My name is Rod Nemni, Colleague Advisor to the Committee.
Gerard Kuerno, Member of the Portfolio Committee.
Gloria Coleman, Member of the Committee.
Member of the Committee.
Dumisani Chimbi, Member of the Committee.
Good morning, Aubrey Mugwen, Member of the Portfolio Committee.
Goedemorgen, good morning, Eric Marais, Member of the Committee.
Good morning. I'm Nombin Matomila from ESCOM Parliamentary Affairs.
Morning, I'm Lovis Kibuka from SAA.
Morning, I'm Caroline Masanya from TPE.
Good morning, it's James Stein from Bild Newspaper.
Hi, good morning, my name is Lucania Tkalat, I'm from the SABC.
Good morning, my name is Baba Londenze from Independent Newspapers.
Good morning, Marco Schmidt from the German Consulate General.
Good morning, Lula Mamaja, SABC.
Morning, Hilke Burns, Now Media.
Good morning, Lyndon Burns from Plain Talking, representing the International Air Transport Association and Airbus.
Good morning, Ms. Abrams from PNG.
Good morning, I'm Loretta Lawrence, CA to the chairperson. I'm Connie Sophie from the American Consulate.
MC Panaro
from
Serba.
Patrick McLaughlin, Hoff, monitors for business.
Linda Ames for business day.
Monday Mumea, TPE.
Morning, Zotim Colomba, TPE.
Good morning, I'm Edwin Bessa from DPE.
Good morning, I'm Clary Clary from South African Airways.
Public Enterprises.
Good morning, my name is Andile Khumalo, Non-Executive Director of SAA.
Good morning, my name is Sam Maluana, Parliamentary Liaison Officer.
Good morning, my name is Yake Kwinana, Non-Executive Board Member of SAA and the Chairperson of the Audit Committee.
Good morning, I'm Ali Jamini from SAA.
Theresa Matula, Director General of Public Enterprises.
Good morning, I'm Madhusi Kigaba from Public Enterprises.
Good morning, I'm Tutumi Eni, SAA Chairperson.
Good morning, the name is Monobi Sikalawe from SAA.
Good morning, my name is Wolf Meyer from SAA.
Good morning, it's Barry Parsons. I'm Chief Strategy Officer of SAA. Once again, you're all welcome to this meeting. I wish we could always have such an attendance in our meeting. I see this even great international interest in this. So this is a clear indication to on our Honourable Minister and the Chair of the Board and the CEO that there's a lot of interest in SAA. I'll then invite the Minister to say a few words in introducing the discussion or the presentation on the turnaround strategy. Honourable Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And I shall be making some comprehensive opening remarks preceding the presentation by the board. It is my privilege, honorable members, to address this august meeting on a matter so important as this one that you have patiently waited for so long. I wish to thank you all for your patience while we worked on this, and the day has come that we should unveil the strategy and table it before you. I hope you all understand not only the gravity of the situation we are here to deal with, but also the sensitivity as well as its urgency. My department, together with the board, the management and staff of SAA, have worked tirelessly to produce this outcome that we are honored and proud today to present before you. What gives me even greater pleasure is that we chose the portfolio committee and therefore Parliament itself for the platform of releasing this strategy to the public.
which demonstrates both our deep respect for this institution as well as our gratitude for the persistent support we have received both from the Portfolio Committee and the two Houses of Parliament over time. On that note, and before we get into the substances of the matter, please allow me officially to introduce the new CEO of SAA, Mr. Monwabi Sikalawe, who took helm of the company on the 1st of June this year and was brave enough to raise his hand for a job that is unenviable, but a job that somebody must do. It's a job which I believe has led him to grow a few gray hairs just in 2 months. I must also apologize, Chairperson and honorable members, for my voice. Excuse me. Over the weekend, somebody pressed the mute button, and I was only unmuted yesterday afternoon, so my voice is still battling with recovery. You will all remember that last year, the SAA AGM was postponed 3 times while we were discussing with the Minister of Finance and the National Treasury about their request for a guarantee. As you know, those events precipitated many things, including the resignation of the previous board of directors just before we rotated them, and the awarding of a stringent government guarantee to SAA. In a way, this board that is here today to present the long-term turnaround strategy was appointed amidst a storm and expected to ride and tame a tiger. This, in any possible way, was an unenviable situation, accompanied as it was soon by the resignation of the then CEO. As soon as they were appointed, I gave them a very clear mandate. At the special general meeting of the new board on the 15th October 2012, I made the following remarks to them, and forgive me for quoting myself. It's not vanity on my part. I said to them that the new board has been appointed primarily to turn the airline around to a position of financial independence and operational efficiency. This requires a long-term vision and strategy to become competitive and a well-run airline with clear plans and targets for the future, including on such issues as fleet procurement. It is pivotal that the airline be immediately stabilized. In collaboration with the shareholder, the management and board are to review the airline's business model, structure and strategy, which, as we have stated it above, would be included in the envisaged long-term turnaround strategy to be drafted in collaboration with all stakeholders, close quote. I proceeded to direct that the strategy should highlight the conditions required for an improved and profitable operating model with efficiencies of scale, that is, proposed route network, as well as the strategic importance of the proposed route network to achieve government's objectives. The following should be included, I said. 1, an aircraft optimization model for the current fleet program and replacement fleet program, which is in line with the route network and long-term strategy. 2, an assessment of the state aviation assets, including SAA and SAA Express, in relation to Airlink, and the most appropriate structure to advance the state's objectives in the airline industry. 3, the development the development of a cost management and revenue enhancing framework on the proposed route network plan and operations, and 4, the incorporation of the department's Africa strategy as part of the long-term strategy. I further said to the new board that core to the mandate of the board would be to provide a stable platform for future growth and sustainability with a focus on reversing recent trends and challenges. The constant request for financial support has placed both the airline and shareholder in negative light, and a view towards self-funding growth should be a prime focus. I must assure you that the shareholder continues to be cognizant of the fact that the aviation sector is a capital-intensive industry, characterized by low margins and high risks. However, it is paramount that SAA in the financial year ahead be able to deliver on its mandate and strategic objectives and be driven and operated on clear and transparent financial principles that would lead to commercial sustainability. Accordingly, and pursuant to my directive, following a rigorous and inclusive process that included staff, management, and executive leadership of the airline, the long-term turnaround strategy was finalized and presented to me on the 2nd of April this year. As I had directed, a task team comprising SAA, SAX, as well as the Department of Public Enterprises was established under the leadership of a special SAA board subcommittee to draft this strategy. The process included consideration and revalidation of the work that had been commissioned by the previous SAA board, management and third-party strategy advisors, including the work that had been commissioned by the DPE to Mott, McDonald and Spectrum Capital that had produced for us a business review of SAA. The strategy sought and gained insight into best practice learnings from leading and successful airlines around the country, around the world, while the projected financial outcomes have been modeled with the assistance of resources provided by PricewaterhouseCoopers. In terms of strategic posture, the LTTS focuses on the best fit business model intended to finance the balance sheet. Whilst it recognizes the intensifying nature of the competitive landscape domestically, regionally, and globally, it places emphasis on managing SAA's cost structure, high cost structure, and on improving yield. Through the LTTS, SAA will sweat its assets, both people and structure, and build prerequisite capabilities, optimize operational efficiencies of strategic routes, prioritize fleet renewal and strategic fleet acquisitions that will grow our revenues, as well as cost-saving measures in a bid to recover the balance sheet. We are pleased to announce that to date, SAA reports on cost savings worth millions of rand, which they will elaborate in their presentation. The LTTS is a holistic document that incorporates both short-term and long-term priorities. In the short term, that is over 18 months, the network strategy forms a critical component. As in all airlines, a network strategy is the basis and the bedrock of the turnaround strategy itself, intended in this instance to consolidate the SAA network. The LTTS also prioritizes strategic initiatives to minimize the loss-making long-haul international route network, including existing certain routes that will most likely reduce the airline's operational losses. The main focus will be on the most profitable areas of the network, domestic South Africa and regional Africa. SAA and the DPE are both mindful that there is a strategic need to focus on finalizing and approving of the network strategy, which will invariably have a direct financial impact on SAA. There is no luxury to fail in the implementation of this strategy. SAA will improve operations and strengthen its balance sheet to the point that the airline is able adequately to leverage off its balance sheet without the stringent conditions imposed by lenders due to a weak financial position. Our collective focus now is to ensure that the strategy is fully implemented. We have developed an action plan that clarifies roles and duties for the different components of the LTTS. We will focus both on hardware as well as hardware to ensure successful implementation. Beyond the development of this strategy, its steadfast implementation is crucial and will be aligned to four corporate plans spanning over a period of 12 years with clear milestones. The DPE will also strengthen its monitoring and oversight role to ensure the implementation of this strategy. The LTTS will now form part of the shareholders' compact. To this end, The DPE has started negotiations for the 2014-2015 shareholder compact on the basis of the strategy propositions. And we have also established quarterly bilateral engagements between the DG and the CEO of the SAA group to review progress regarding the implementation of the strategy. Whilst we recognize that the LTTS is a living document, we want to say without any ambiguity that the LTTS will form the bedrock against which SAA's successes will be judged for future generations, and it is a litmus test for the role of the developmental state in the economy. SAA will not only be judged on its ability to chart a strategic way forward, but will also be judged concretely on its ability to bring programmatic and institutional expression to the LTTS. That is how it will live beyond the words and ideas on the pages that have been conceptualized, such as the previous turnaround strategies had suffered. The analysis of SAA's business and performance history explains why its business model continues to produce poor financial results and erode shareholder value. The LTTS proceeds from the premise that SAA has a dual mandate to fulfill both the commercial as well as developmental mandate of the government. The market analysis revealed, obviously, that SAA and its subsidiaries all operate in highly competitive global markets, which are rapidly liberalizing and consolidating, resulting in growing levels of competition. This assisted SAA to identify specific opportunities involved in transitioning into a commercially sustainable model. Therefore, part of these opportunities include, one, instilling a new collective group vision and mission, with the strategic focus being to support the national development agenda, achieve and maintain commercial sustainability, and foster performance excellence. The new vision and mission seeks to guide the airline in the delivery of its shareholder mandate as South Africa's national strategic asset, which supports the country's national development plan. The role of SAA ought to be aligned to the proposed new vision of the airline. The overall contribution of the entity to the economy needs to be measured and focused to ascertain the total impact the entity has on the economy. Government is required to focus and highlight its expectations of SAA. This will be done through the shareholder strategic intent statement. Secondly, the creation of an integrated airline group, where SAA, Mango, and SAA Express operate as part of one holding company structure in order to better and more effectively to utilize our assets and improve the overall efficiency of operations and the capital allocated to the airlines. Thirdly, the implementation of a new network, alliance, and fleet strategy for the deployment of SAA as a full-service world-class premium carrier, Mango as Africa's leading world-class low-cost carrier, and SAX as Africa's world-class regional feeder airline. I must indicate that I keep referring to SAX, that means SAA Express. If I use the other term, people get excited. In this regard, we are soon to engage with the SAX turnaround strategy, which has been submitted to me. A focus on the above objectives for each respective airline will allow the group to merge current and projected future demand, the production of capacity through alliance relationships, and an integrated fleet planning methodology. SAA has already begun embarking on a fleet replacement program for its narrow-bodied fleet. Fourth, the development of a whole-of-state aviation framework. This is very important to us, as it is important in many other countries, such as in the United Arab Emirates, Ethiopia, and Kenya, where their airlines operate under a holistic state aviation policy framework. It would ensure a consolidated policy approach to aviation in South Africa. In these countries I have just mentioned, policy around airlines, airports, visa requirements, purchase of capital assets, traffic rights for foreign airlines and others are all coordinated to maximize the growth potential of their local airlines to achieve their mandate. South Africa and SAA would benefit a great deal from a similar approach. Fifth, an immediate rollout of a new human capital development intervention. And sixth, an immediate and ongoing implementation of new business infrastructure interventions. We will work together with SAA's leadership to ensure that we build the prerequisite capabilities for driving projects whilst honoring the everyday commitments to fly ordinary South Africans. The Department of Public Enterprises as the shareholder ministry will ensure that SAA achieves the critical milestones of the LTTS. We make the firm commitment that SAA will achieve what it can and what it has to within the ambit of its own competencies. It will build implementation capacities. It will move from a diagnostic paradigm to a learning by doing paradigm, moving steadily towards action. In our bid to support the LTTS as the shareholder ministry, we have intervened on several occasions as part of our shareholder prerogative, including the following. One, at a strategic level, we have had significant engagements with Treasury in an attempt to secure the prerequisite funding necessary to ensure the airline's going concern, which engagements are set to continue. And secondly, I have had several engagements with both the chairperson and CE to reiterate my concerns and expectations and the need for an active approach from the board. The DPE will continue to facilitate a series of interdepartmental engagements to try resolve some of the major policy concerns facing SAA currently. The DPE has already started with research for the development of a Fly South Africa policy or act as proposed by the strategy, which is similar to the one adopted by the United States of America, which is the Fly America Act, which compels governments to fly with airlines owned by the state where government is funding the travel. The proposed development or implementation of a Fly South Africa regulatory framework would be fruitless if SAA continues to have a bad customer service record. This means that the airline needs to be comprehensive in terms of the market segments that the airline caters for in their product. SAA has requested assistance in finalizing its decisions on key routes such as Mumbai and Beijing, as these proposals were made purely on the basis of economic principles, while they may also have far-reaching diplomatic implications, especially given the strategic objective of the BRICS countries. In deliberations with various stakeholders on the route network, it was recommended that SAA should be mindful of short-term responses to current challenges, which may have long-term implications. It has been proposed that government should identify all strategic routes irrespective of whether they are profitable or not, and we should develop strategies and interventions to address those that are strategic but not profitable. We will explore alternative priority initiatives in order to support these strategic interventions. We continue to learn from what other players in other geographies are doing to respond to the market, to the dynamic market forces. We are confident that there are best practices and best examples of players, both regionally and domestically, who have found themselves in the same situation. We are confident that a turnaround is within our reach and can be done. Capitalization requirements, Chairperson, are being reviewed further and developed in conjunction with the National Treasury. In the short term, SAA needs to focus on cost containment and improvement in the company's debt-to-equity ratio. It should improve operations and strengthen its balance sheet, as I have earlier indicated, to a point where the airline is able adequately to leverage off its balance sheet without the stringent conditions imposed by lenders due to a weak financial position. This would entail reducing the high levels of debt and building the airline's asset base in a sustainable manner. In conclusion, the strategy has been submitted as I had requested. What is of crucial importance now is its implementation to ensure that the airline returns to profitability. We are doing all we can through the shareholder compact process to embed the strategy into the operations and the corporate strategy of the airline. The tactics that will be applied and the agility of the business model are critical in ensuring that the airline is able to react positively to changes in its environment. The department will continue to track the process, the progress of the implementation of the strategy and to provide the necessary support required in the implementation phase of the strategy. The LTTS has since been sent to government, which gave it a posterior support. Cabinet continues to show confidence in our ability, both as the shareholder department working with other departments, as well as SAA, to turn things around. Honorable members must note that the airline's governance structures are stable, its management is stable, and its operations solid. Even as financial challenges persist, and we are working around the clock to contain them, this strategy provides us a roadmap into the future. We know where we're going, both in the short term as well as in the medium to long term. We understand that change takes time. We must give the LTTS the time it requires to yield the desired results. However, we will continue to ask the difficult questions and to engage actively, constructively, and robustly, even when the airline has succeeded to turn around. We believe that the board has the prerequisite abilities to change the momentum. It is incumbent upon us to implement this strategy with speed and unyielding resolve. Failure, as I have earlier said, is not an option. And I thank you, Chair.
I invite the Chair of the Board to present the strategy to the committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. May I greet the House? I would like to thank you for the opportunity to provide you with a short brief on the SAA's LTTS, which is our long-term turnaround strategy, which I will use the abbreviation as the Minister has been calling it the LTTS. I just want to hasten to say it wasn't so long ago that we were here in February deliberating on the development of the strategy. I remember vividly that we said it's not going to be an easy task, but we expressed our commitment, and indeed, we are very happy today that we are unveiling and presenting this strategy here. I also wanted to touch on the deliverables and the directive from our shareholder to ensure that we found the CEO of the airline. And when we were here, we were with the acting CEO. And I'm very, very happy that today we are here with our permanent CEO, Mr. Kalau. It may appear to have been unfortunate that he was not part of the development of the long-term turnaround strategy. But the most comforting thing is that he has started, he has engaged with the strategy, he is looking at it, and he has made comments that have set very comfortable with the board, whereby he mentioned something that I think the House is aware, because it was mentioned in one of the articles on the media day before yesterday or yesterday, where he said if he was part of the development of this strategy, or whether he was or he was not, he would still come up with the same document. And we are very happy, because to us, it shows that he's taken ownership of the LTTS and he would be driving the implementation with the full support of the board. We thank the CEO for that. Ladies and gentlemen, it's almost been 8 years after first taking to the skies South African Airways, it still continues to be a symbol of national pride. Wherever we are in the world, if we see that tail on the apron, whether you are in London, whether you are in New York, whether you are in any country, you feel innately that that is our flag carrier and it should be every citizen's first choice of an airline. You have entrusted us with the responsibility of this national asset, and I just want to express our commitment on behalf of the board and the leadership that indeed the airline is in the safe hands. SAA is no different. The development of and implementation of the LTTS really marks the end point of nearly a decade of poor performance fueled by management and business instability. It provides a roadmap to a horizon for commercial success while simultaneously recognizing the strategic importance of a flag carrier for our republic. This strategy, applicable to a 20-year planning horizon and although delivering quick wins, is powered by a desire to succeed in the long term. Chairperson, this LTTS is designed to repair the business from the inside out, to restore SAA's reputation in the market globally, regionally and nationally. The board of SAA, its executive team, and our employee bodies recognize that it is time for positive change. The minister has said it, that there is no way we should fail. This document is really an outcome of a rigorous yet very exciting collaboration, inclusive of our sister airline, South African Express, and consultation with our key stakeholders and the shareholders. Thousands of our employees from the ground, cabin, cockpit, senior management, and everyone has been part and parcel of the strategy formulation, and the process showed a lot of commitment and passion for the business, ensuring in the process that we have a good, bright, and prosperous long-term future. Ladies and gentlemen, never before in SAA's history has a strategy formulation process been so inclusive, delivering a strategy crafted by SAA for SAA without using consultants. I think that is part of cost savings as well. The levels of discussion have undoubtedly been robust and were based on frank introspection in all areas that constitute our operations. Our vision is consequently informed by interrogation of all relevant factors. These include, but not limited to, governance framework and shareholder mandate, performance history, as well as market dynamics. I think this strategy is informed as well by the patriotic desire to play a crucial role in supporting South Africa's developmental state objectives, as well as overtly valuing notions of transformation, skills development, and increased economic activity within our country. Before arriving at the conclusions that make up the recommendations we present today, there has been a consideration of the work commissioned by the previous SAA board management and third-party strategy advisors. Central notions of cost and people efficiency measures propagated by the life of various consulting companies that are well-known globally that I won't necessarily mention because there have been so many and almost all of them have been engaged. But what I can safely say, similarly, these strategies aimed to gain insights into best practices and learning from the leading and successful airlines around the world, whilst it projects financial outcomes that have been modeled with assistance of these resources as well as the reputable audit firm. I can safely say PricewaterhouseCoopers has been robustly engaged in that process. Beyond strategy formulation, the steadfast implementation of this strategy is crucial and will be aligned to four corporate plans spanning over a period of 12 years with clear milestones. The performance of management and the entire staff will be in sync with specific and measurable outcomes that will indicate through continuous monitoring whether the company is able to meet or achieve its performance targets. Governance and accountability, consistent theme throughout the strategy is very important, and in this context, entire strategy formulation to implementation through the structured use of balanced scorecard across the group. I think, Chairperson, I did also mention that the board will be ensuring that there will be an office that will be responsible for the monitoring of the implementation of this strategy. And indeed, that office is on its way to its establishment. And that is where we will be judged by this LCTS to say, has it been one of those strategies that are put on the shelf full of gaps? As the chairperson of this board, I am proud to present this body of work. Its content has the full support of the board as well as its full staff complement. I also want to emphasize that its implementation is very critical. It holds the potential to cement a bright future for SAA, and it provides a clear path to sustained profitability whilst quantifying the support required from our shareholder and the state as a whole. As we submit and present the LCTS today, I would like to take this opportunity to thank everyone who participated in the process. I will mention the team that is here and present today, particularly the chairperson of a board committee called the Long-Term Turnaround Strategy Committee, Mr. Khumalo, and Mr. Khumalo, who is one of our board members. They spent 82 days to develop this document. Every board member, apart from the committee, was part and parcel of the process. I don't think, Chairperson, there is any board structure that would meet every Thursday in an organization when we are a non-executive board member, but every Thursday you are part and parcel of the process to develop the strategy. But we made a commitment and we're in this room in February 19 where we said we will deliver the strategy on the 2nd of April. And I've got mixed emotions to say we did do what we committed to do. As the board, we are very aligned. We are very clear what ought to be done and what the shareholder expectations are. I just want also to acknowledge the work of the executives. It is the very executive and the management of the entire organization that would have been consulted by your McKinsey's and various other consultants when they develop the turnaround strategy anyway, because when they come into any organization, they use the people within the organization. Therefore, it is very important for me to say that they are very important in cooperating with us when we called for them to participate in the turnaround strategy development. Their insight and experience from various professional disciplines have really immensely enriched this document, and this will really serve as a compass during the long-haul expedition to commercial sustainability. Ladies and gentlemen, may I conclude by saying I thank you for your support, and I thank our shareholder for the support they've given us. And with these few words, Chairperson, I would like to welcome the CEO and also ask him to take us through the process. Thank you. Chairperson, thank you for giving us the opportunity to brief your committee about our LTTS. Good morning, honourable members of the committee. In my briefing, I aim to achieve three objectives. The first one is to demonstrate that we have a carefully crafted strategy appropriate for the challenges that face our business. The second one is that this strategy addresses the key issues that are at the heart of a successful airline. And the third one is that the strategy finds the right balance between focusing on commercial issues versus the developmental mandate that we have been requested to prioritize. Let me take the House Chairperson through the development process that we went through in developing the strategy. Number one, we agreed some broad principles to guide the process, and those are inclusivity, actionable, benchmarked, and validated strategy. Inclusivity, we achieved it by going out to the business and giving staff across all sites and across all levels an opportunity to give input towards the development of the strategy. Actionable, we were very clear up front that we wanted a strategy that's going to be accompanied by a pragmatic implementation plan. On benchmarks, we wanted to ensure that we develop a strategy that adopts latest thinking in dealing with airline turnarounds. On validated, we went through at least two external validation processes by respectable, world-class strategy companies. The second area of focus, Chairperson, was on the outcomes. Again, we agreed four broad principles to guide the outcome: sustainability, stakeholder focus, governance, as well as speed. On sustainability, we agreed, Chairperson, that the planning horizon would be over 20 years. So we're not only focusing in addressing the short-term requirements of the airline, we looked at a 20-year planning horizon. Stakeholder focus, we considered needs of key stakeholders around the airline, such as passengers, such as government departments, etc. As far as governance is concerned, we designed a strategy, an implementation plan, and a governance framework that would allow for transparency for the board as well as for the shareholder. On speed, we were very clear, Chairperson, upfront that we wanted to take advantage of quick wins. Quick wins are an easy way to lobby for support from your key stakeholders and to sustain momentum in taking the strategy forward. In developing the strategy, we used a proven strategy development framework. Through this framework, we conducted a deep assessment of the capabilities of the business that highlighted our weaknesses and strengths. Weaknesses were mentioned both by the minister and the chairperson earlier: a weak balance sheet, poor stakeholder management, and a high cost base. There were strengths, and I think sometimes when we talk about SAA, we do not recognize the strengths that the organization has, and I will mention a few. One of them is that the brand is very strong. Even though the organization has gone through all this turbulence that you've seen in the media over the past couple of years, it has what I describe as an impeccable safety record. It has world-class operations. Our amazing performance on on-time departure stats demonstrates to me that FAE has world-class operations. Clearly, you would notice that a high cost base, a weak balance sheet, and poor stakeholder relationships is a value-destructive business model. And the situation is made worse by the headwinds that are taking place out in the market, not only confronting FAE, but confronting other airlines. Those headwinds, a few of them would be increased liberalization of the market, consolidation in the airline industry, shifts in global air traffic, and short-haul air travel becoming a commodity. Once we had concluded this assessment process, we were then able to define the key problems that the strategy needed to address to take the organization forward. Some of those would be a suboptimal route network. In the minister's opening remarks, he mentioned that most of our international routes are loss-making. He mentioned that there are threats facing us in the African region, largely coming from the Middle Eastern carriers. Those are threats that need to be dealt with. And there's huge pressure in the domestic market, either in the form of a shifting market demand, where travelers are beginning to be price sensitive. And the second pressure point in the domestic market would be around the competitors that are looking at becoming operational in our market. The second problem, Chairperson, is a failure to address our geographic disposition. South Africa as a country is located far away from the key source markets of the world. Our strategy needs to develop mitigation measures to ensure that we are not disadvantaged. Long-term weakness of the balance sheet and the high cost structure, cultural deficiencies and leadership volatility. Let me spend a second here. What we're talking about here is lack of a performance and accountable culture in the organization. That's what we mean when we talk about cultural deficiencies, leadership volatility. You've read about it in newspapers, the sudden changes that have taken place at executive and board level. Governance of subsidiaries and processes lack maturity, therefore limiting the subsidiaries from unlocking the potential that they have. A poor implementation record. The chairperson mentioned that we've gone through 9 strategies over the past 10, 11 years, and none of those strategies have been implemented. This strategy deals with that. A poor decision support system, where in some instances you see financial performance of the business or part of the business in the middle of the new month for the previous month. The perceived mandate conflict, as well as lack of a holistic aviation policy approach. Those are the problems that we've unearthed through the assessment process that I spoke about earlier. There are also opportunities that have been opened up by this assessment process, such as a new collective group vision and mission, a creation of an integrated airline group. I'll come back to this point. Implementation of a new network alliance and fleet strategy. This point is the heart of a successful airline. Development of a whole of state policy framework. Immediate rollout of human capital development interventions. We would know that FAE has lost a lot of talented people over the past 3 to 4 years. We are now having to rebuild that capability. That's what this is talking to. Implementation of a new financial plan, implementation of business infrastructure and service interventions, and relentless focus on cost efficiencies. I think this point was emphasized by the minister as well. And then executive implementation and accountability. Excuse me. In the previous slide, Chairperson, under the opportunity statement, I talked about creating a new collective vision and mission for the group. We've come up with a vision as part of developing the strategy for the business. And that vision says we aspire to be Africa's leading world-class airline. And the mission is about delivering commercially sustainable world-class air passengers and aviation services in support of the country's tourism and trade agenda. Supporting this vision are five objectives. One of them focuses on the developmental mandate, and the four focus on the commercial mandate. I'd like to spend a minute or two picking up key points on each of these objectives. The first one is the developmental mandate. I want to spend some time talking about the economic impact, the economic footprint of FAA in South Africa. In 2012, we commissioned an Oxford Economic Study to assess the economic impact of our organization in our economy. They came back and reported that it's estimated that we contribute about 8.6 billion rands annually to South Africa's GDP. That's estimated to be about 0.3%. It's a big number. We contribute towards creating jobs, 35,000 in the general economy and a further 44,000 in tourism. As we roll out this strategy moving forward, we believe that these numbers are going to improve. An area under the developmental mandate that requires management focus is the transformation profile. None of us are happy about the current Black Economic Empowerment Score of FAA today, especially when it relates to enterprise development. That is an area that the board and management are focusing on. The second objective I want to focus on is on commercial sustainability. In this area, as part of developing our strategy, we've got indicative profit targets over the planning period for this strategy. The timing and quantum of these profit targets will be finalized once recapitalization discussions have been concluded between DPE, National Treasury, and ourselves. The third objective is on providing excellent customer service. FAA has won numerous service awards. This year, the chairperson and I think it was in June, went to France to pick up the Skytrax Award, where FAA again won the Best Airline in Africa Award. We are not resting on our laurels because we are aware that our service is inconsistent. Hence, this strategy has allowed us to create a new service experience framework to help us address our inconsistent service performance. On the fourth objective, on achieving consistent, efficient, and effective operations. Operations of SAE, from my perspective, is a standard of excellence. I mentioned earlier, I'm going to mention again, we've got a good safety track record. In an airline business, safety is key. Again, our world-class on-time departure confirms that in operations, we have a standard of excellence. As far as this objective is concerned, our focus is going to be on improving labor productivity. And the last objective is on fostering performance excellence. Here, we are going to focus on developing a disciplined performance management system to drive ownership and accountability across all areas of the business. Let's move on, Chairperson, to the structure. We want to use the structure to force integration and accountability. We are proposing, Chairperson, that a new holdings group should be created, and under this new holdings group, you would have subgroups. The first of these would be a subgroup that focuses on the three airlines, SAA, SAA Express, and Mango. Our key motivation behind this recommendation is that it is there to optimize utilization of assets as well as extract synergies between the three alliances. The next subgroup focuses on maintenance and repairs of aircraft. I would estimate, Chairperson, that about maybe 12, 15 years ago, SAA Technical was one of the leading MRO organizations in the world. When we outsourced our capability to maintain, to do maintenance and overhaul of engines, we lost that capability. We want to rebuild that capability, hence this dedicated focus on this MRO business. On the logistics side, we want to combine the SHF and cargo businesses because their business is focusing on logistics. And then the last area, Chairperson, would be on creating a unit that focuses on our frequent flyer program. The benefit for our shareholder is that the shareholder will no longer have to manage two separate airline groups, SAA Express and SAA. They will now manage one airline holdings group. Thank you. The subsidiaries, Chairperson, our strategy also provides guidance on how we should structure and manage our subsidiaries. Starting with SAA Technical, the plan of action for SAA Technical is to focus on integrating our technical capability that we've got on the SAA Express business with the one that exists in SAA Technical. The second part of that plan of action is to focus on extracting synergies between our technical business as well as the aviation unit within the Danel business. And the last part of our plan of action for SAA Technical would be on insourcing the high-value service that our MRO business used to do in the past, namely rebuilding the capability to do complete overhaul of aircraft engines. Because our technical business is probably the largest MRO unit in Africa, and we know that there are airline groups that are developing in Africa, there's a huge opportunity for SAA Technical to service those airline groups, offering it opportunities to expand in Africa. SAA Cargo, it has huge opportunities in Africa. The high market activity taking place in Africa, the middle class that's growing in Africa, offers huge opportunities for cargo. And the second plan of action for our cargo business is full implementation of transfer pricing and process enhancements to improve efficiency. The SAA Travel Center, its plan of action is to focus on growing revenue contribution from the South African market as well as expanding its footprint in Africa. The second plan of action is to focus on enhancement of its franchisee value proposition. Voyager, its plan of action is to focus on cost-effective enhancements to redemption options as well as system rejuvenation. The SHF's business, the last time we spoke about the SHF's business, Chairperson, last year, there were major problems around this business. The strategy is designed to eliminate those problems. Hence, the plans of action that we've developed for the business would be, number one, on enhancing its product, driving customer wins, driving process improvements, as well as eliminating loss control. There is an opportunity, Chairperson, in also focusing on supporting processes. These areas are going to receive the attention of management. The first one is the human capital area, and here we'll be focusing on introducing a performance management system, and that will allow us to drive ownership and accountability in the business. As far as sales anticipation is concerned, there's going to be increasing reach through cross-group leverage and specific segment focus. Operations, Chairperson, we've spoken about earlier, where I mentioned that operations is world-class. However, we've seen opportunities to further drive improvements in operations in the area of automation as well as cost compression. Information technology, the current technology that we have is outdated. It needs to be modernized. And that is an area that we are going to address through our strategy as we move forward. We will continue to drive compliance as far as the environment is concerned. On marketing, because we're proposing that a new holdings group is to be created, brand standardization and rebuilding of the brand is going to be an area of focus going forward. Communication in the past was reactive. We want to change that going forward. And the emphasis on communication is to highlight the value that SAA adds to the broader South Africa, so that when the public views the performance of SAA, it does so beyond the income statement. Customer service, the focus is going to be alignment of processes, systems, and people to deliver consistent service that's externally benchmarked. On procurement, the focus is going to be on enterprise development so that the organization can have the right DE score that's reflective of the developmental mandate that the shareholder has imposed, has placed on SAA. Governance and risk, focus on full PFMA compliance through improvements in planning activities, and as far as stakeholder relations are concerned, it's going to be on development of an integrated stakeholder relations function within SAA. Let's now move on to the financial plan. We've got five objectives that form the foundation for the financial plan. The first one is to contain the current shareholder value depletion that was mentioned by the minister earlier. The second one is to redress deficiencies in the group's capital composition, as well as equipping the integrated airline group with an appropriate fleet, on the back of which we can realize organic growth in retained earnings, as well as optimize the group's balance sheet. In our view, these objectives will be achieved once the recapitalization issue is resolved, and we are pleased to report that those discussions between DPE, National Treasury, and SAA are taking place to enable us to drive these objectives. And the approach will be to use this new balance sheet to support our growth ambitions, including using the benefit of the new wide-body fleet, as well as the resumption of international networks. Next one. The Harvard Business Review has looked at major change programs in the world, and they've researched them thoroughly, and they've reported that for successful change programs to happen, and they make up about 30% of the change programs that they've looked at, there are 10 elements that make up for successful change programs. And they range from organizational clarity on the way forward and everyone's role, right up to ongoing strategy revalidation informed by the competitive landscape. In our case, we're at a stage where we're focusing on points 7 and 8 on this list, where we're prioritizing a very effective rapid implementation and ensuring that there's high visibility of implementation progress for all stakeholders. Thank you. The governance framework for driving the LTTS forward is made up of using EXCO as well as the turnaround office to work together to drive implementation forward. The purpose of creating a turnaround office is to ensure that implementation is prioritized as well as institutionalized in the business. And these two structures report to the CEO, and the CEO provides progress update to a board subcommittee referred to as LTTS. It is then the main board that provides quarterly reports to our shareholder as well as to National Treasury, and at times to the portfolio committee, such as we are here today. Chairperson, to demonstrate that the implementation is working, the minute we're given board approval in April, we started taking advantage of some of the low-hanging fruit. Some of those low-hanging fruits would be signing code share agreements with Etihad in the UAE, and that is to give us access to markets beyond the UAE. Treasury Agreement with TEM, and that is meant to give us access to South America. From yesterday, Mango was meant to start operating to Zanzibar. As far as the African market is concerned, there are huge capacity increases. There are increases to Mauritius, increases to Dar es Salaam, increases to Lusaka, increases to Kinshasa. Our quick wins have not only been focusing on growth chairperson, and they've also been focusing on savings. My colleagues and I are targeting an amount of about 100 million rands for this current financial year as part of our cost compression program. This number is currently being audited internally. I want to make some closing remarks, chairperson. And those closing remarks talk to the key elements of our strategy. The first one, chairperson, is that recapitalization to strengthen our weak balance sheet is of high priority for the business. The second one, chairperson, is about reviewing of our global network to eliminate loss-making routes and refleet to mitigate effects of high fuel. Let me explain, chairperson, what I mean by eliminating loss-making routes. The starting point is for management to identify those loss-making routes, engage with DPE together with other government departments to determine whether those markets are not of crucial importance to the country. If they are, a separate mechanism would be developed in conjunction with those departments to sustain those routes. If they are not of crucial importance to the country, we will then eliminate them. So we don't make those decisions on our own. We make those decisions in conjunction with DPE. The next one, chairperson, is to drive cost savings very hard to address the high cost structure that I mentioned earlier. Element number four would be driving growth into the rest of Africa very aggressively. And the last one, chairperson, is to migrate into a group structure to extract synergies to benefit the business. I'm happy, chairperson, to handle any questions that the honorable members may have. I thank you.
That everybody has been consulted, or you try to consult as widely as possible. I just want to find out whether or not with those people, if they haven't as yet, eventually know what the strategy is. Because you mentioned something which is linked to that the cultural weaknesses, the work ethics, you know. Once people know that this is the guideline, or this is what's expected of us, so every person at every station knows exactly what is expected of them. It's very important. They have been consulted. They know what the outcomes of the consultation is, and they know what their roles are in realizing bringing this document to life. I've noted Dr. Kuranoff, Mrs. Bowman, Mr. Mukwena, Ms. Michael, Mr. Quimby, Mr. Murray, what did I mention as well? Yeah, Mr. Quimby. order.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the CEO and the Chairman of the Board and the Minister for this introduction and the tabling for the first time in public of the long-awaited turnaround strategy of SAA. And congratulations on keeping to your deadline. You said to us in April that, in February, that you will table this in, not on the 1st of April, but on the 2nd of April, and you did it. So congratulations, and thank you for the extensive presentation that you made to us. And we wish you well as the CEO of steering the ship. Chairperson, just three remarks before I ask my question. We welcome the fact that you will terminate loss-making routes. It's long overdue. I hear you have to discuss it with DPE, but at the end of the day, you will carry the burden to determine whether a loss-making route should be terminated indeed. And I wish you will be strong on that. We cannot afford loss-making routes. You have to eliminate them. That's the first remark. The second one, I understand that you are comfortable to have the balance between the dual mandate of a commercial mandate and a developmental mandate. So we welcome that you feel comfortable, you're part of this process, and you will find yourself in a comfortable space to have a balance between the two mandates or a dual mandate that you have. And thirdly, on the recapitalization needed and what financial assistance you will require, you put it, it's in your financial plan. I must be honest with you, the plan is not complete as it is in the document. As a matter of fact, it's a bit sketchy. But I understand and I can appreciate that you want SAA to be a financially sustainable business, and that your recapitalization is an ongoing process that you will discuss with Treasury, discuss with your board, discuss with your management and the DPE. So it's not an issue to be flagged here. It's an ongoing process, if I understand that correctly. Those are the three remarks. My questions. Firstly, you announced today that you have an integrated airline group consisting now of SAA, SA Express and Mango. My question is, will these three entities now in future be allowed to produce their own annual report and financial statements? Up to this point in time, we only received from SAA and SA Express. So my question is whether you will go there. Secondly, the fundamental problem of SAA is a weak capital base and a weak balance sheet. My question to you as a CEO, are you comfortable that this strategy that you tabled to Parliament today will address this fundamental problem of SAA? Thirdly, in February, when SAA, your predecessor, the acting CEO, addressed us, he mentioned that SAA are top-heavy in terms of staff and that it needs to be right-sized. You have senior positions not filled at the moment in SAA. Your head of legal, your head of commercial, your chief pilot, and your head of IT. Will you address that issue shortly? And then lastly, your implementation plan. It's a good strategy, it seems, but you need to implement it. So your implementation plan, will that be enough in detail? Will it be phased over a number of phases, and who will oversee that implementation? Will you allow the DPE to oversee it as your shareholder? Will Parliament be allowed to oversee the implementation? Will you keep us informed about the phasing of this implementation? Will you report to Parliament? So the final litmus test will be in the implementation. Strategy is good on paper, but in the end, it needs to be implemented and the goals need to be achieved. And lastly, do you have a new fleet? Have your negotiations completed for the new fleet? And how are you going to cost and finance it? I thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. May I also say, first of all, welcome to the new CEO. And I think we are extremely fortunate in what I have heard here today and the team that's been put together in working. And I think a huge amount of work has gone into this. And we do thank you for all the many, many hours, for 82 days, huh? Thank you very much. I would like to ask the question. We've had 9 previous strategies, and those have now, in some measure, been included in what is currently the strategy. What makes this particular strategy any different to the other 9? And I think that relates to the question on also implementation. And I see that you have also in your presentation mentioned that you've already started on some implementation, what you call implementation wins here. So perhaps you could just help us also to understand that you are already well underway, and perhaps that will also give us some confidence. But what is different about the strategy? And of course the implementation is critical. We often hear it said that we are very good with plans, but our implementation is weak. And that leads me to the next point, and that was mentioned by the Minister and in your presentation, the need for clear plans and targets. And I hear the timeline of 12 years, I think I'm hearing, over a period of 12 years, that's going to be broken down. By when will we as a committee have a breakdown of the clear plans and targets that will enable us to exercise our monitoring, our oversight role over this to make sure that it is going forward? And then also related to that, is the Office to Monitor Implementation that you spoke about, and I like that because I think that is also a strength, because if that works well, then that's going to help tremendously. And my question relating to that would be, you say it is, you're busy working on that, you're busy setting that up. When will that be set up to begin its role of monitoring? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, allow me to also apologize for my voice, and I promise you I was nowhere near the Minister on the weekend, so it's completely coincidental that we both have a frog in the throat. Chairperson, we have sat through over the years 9 turnaround strategies being implemented and brought to Parliament by SAA. We need guarantees that this one will also not land up being shelved. But, Chairperson, I would like to know what was the total cost for all the consultants and the consultative process for putting this particular long-term strategy together. And in that, Chairperson, with the amalgamation of Mango, SA Express and SAA coming together, does this mean that we now will only need 1 board of executives, because that would be a huge cost-saving exercise if that is the country? Chairperson, also, how do you satisfy the country that the continuous bailouts that we give to our national carrier SAA simply don't destroy competitiveness in the airline industry? And in that vein, does this mean that SAA will still need the between 6 and 8 billion rand bailouts from the government? Chair, also, just like to know, touch on what the status of the Airbus contract is and what the costs involved with that contract have been up to date. Chair, in the news recently we've seen, had an airline strike at SAA with some of the employees going on strike. What kind of actions are being put in place in this long-term turnaround strategy to ensure that these kind of strike actions don't affect our country? And linked to that, We hear that many staff members are going to be cut. Exactly how many staff are, how many staff members are going to be cut? Chair, also in the statement we see that some of the routes are loss-making, and I think it's very important for us as the Portfolio Committee to know what these routes are that are loss-making and what are the projected new routes that are going to be put in place to make the airline more profitable. And then finally, Chair, this implementation policy took feet. It grew roots in April. I believe 18 or 19 initiatives have been indicated to date. I'd like to know how many of those 18 or 19 initiatives have in actual fact been reached.
Thank you, Chairperson. A few quick points. I've largely been covered by my previous colleagues who spoke before me. But I just want to highlight the following points. Number one, that we appreciate the audacity with which the new board has actually come up with this very awesome turnaround strategy. You see, it is better to come up clearly and do something instead of being very shy and duck and dive, because then people cannot assist you. No less a person than Jill Marcus, the governor of the Reserve Bank, warned that what is required, among other ingredients in the South African economy, is leadership. Now, here we see an admirable demonstration of leadership. We see assonance. The ministry is sitting from the same sheet with the DPE and with the board. And you've really hit the ground, you know, running. You don't sound like a new board. It shows that the focus is clear, and then you've got the support from the portfolio committee. Not that we'll always shower you with panegyrics. Where we go wrong, we'll be very, very hard on you. That's the first point. The second point, I like the idea, particularly, Chairperson, of the new holding company that is going to be installed, because what it will do now, it will bring symmetry, it will bring cooperation and synergy among the three airlines that we have there. Mega West Express and SAA, all the siblings are going to become, they're going to gel and work together, and then that's going to be very, very good for brand creation, sustainability, and making sure that, you know, the direction is clear of aviation in the country. Third point, I particularly like the idea of the technical services division there. Why I like it is because, you see, you are bringing in the necessary link in the BRICS MOU that was signed by heads of state when they came in government here, in terms of which Russia has committed itself to, has asked South Africa to set up a maintenance, repair, and overall center where 1,000 helicopters are going to be treated here. And that is where now DINEL is going to play a very key role. And you are bringing a natural marriage between yourselves as a state-owned company as well as DINEL. This is what we've actually been trying to say all along, that state-owned companies must not operate in silos, but they must as far as possible connect. Well, that's going to enhance your technical and technological capability, and that's going to boost the economy, and that's particularly going to help to have security in Africa and stability and you know, expertise, job creation, etc. So all put together, that is particularly what is exciting this thing here, and I think we need to the support of the portfolio committee this one here. I just want to find out if we are bringing the workers on board, some members have actually mentioned this thing. So they must have, this very admired brand must have a buy-in of the workers, you know, Satao, Solidarity, et cetera, et cetera. So they must be on board, you see, because we must as a country have one mind to deal decisively with labor peace, instead of labor peace being dealt with piecemeal, that sector, that bargaining chamber, et cetera, et cetera. Key to the whole thing that there was the equity. Workers must feel they actually they are also co-owners of the workplace, not only in terms of remuneration, but long term. That's good for political stability. So I just thought, Chairperson, those issues must reflect. And but I'm particularly very, very happy that we are now getting into a new era of aviation in South Africa, and especially that there is now directionality. Thank you.
Honorable Marie.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will keep it very short because I'm covered with a lot of previous questions. I'll just really emphasize the one important issue to me, and it's about if the CEO can update us about new aircraft, because that versus fuel efficiency versus cost effectiveness, and it's a very competitive market out there, and SAA have to secure market share. Thank you, sir.
Chairperson, you will decide how you share the responses to the questions.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Firstly, may I thank the honorable members for the messages of support and appreciation, and we are really encouraged by the remarks that are being made in the House. I think I did not write each question from each person that has been asking. But what I will do, I will ask the CEO to deal with the technical questions that have been raised. And then I will come in as well as there is a need. Thank you. Over to you, CEO.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Invite DG if... you want to come in, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the question that was raised by the honorable member relating to the dual mandate, our response is that we are very comfortable working with the dual mandate. In fact, there are many examples in the world where a dual mandate is managed successfully, especially in countries where there's a firm whole of state aviation policy in place. So the remarks made by the minister in his opening remarks where he was saying he's working with his team on this whole of state aviation policy is encouraging. It's going to make it easy for us to live with the dual mandate. In terms of the airline group that we mentioned in our presentation, the group is yet to be established. So there still needs to be consultation with the legal experts who can give us advice and guidance as to how we should deal with the legal issues when we create this entity. We are targeting early 2014. That would give us as management sufficient time to consult with our shareholder. In terms of updating the portfolio committee, as management and the board, we are ready to do that. We will do it through DPE, as we've done for today, to provide those progress updates on our implementation. Chairperson, if it's okay with you, I would like to deal with the question that was asked about what is unique about our LTTS. Yes, I will, Chairperson. What's unique about this strategy is that it was developed jointly by the board and management. Now, when you do that, you encourage ownership and pride in the product. In fact, I was talking to one of our board members who was intimately involved in the development of the strategy, and his words, very encouraging words to me, were that he viewed it as national service. his contribution towards our country. So that's the kind of ownership that you see at board and management level. That's unique. That never existed in the past. The second point that makes it unique is that this time around, the board has been wise. It has created a subcommittee that focuses only on the LTTS. That committee was responsible for the crafting of the strategy. It's also responsible for implementation of LTTS. And the committee has designed the system that it uses to monitor and track progress on implementation. Chairperson, an implementation plan is in place, unlike the other strategies of the past, supported by a dashboard and balance scorecard system that is used to track progress. This time around, implementation is built into performance contracts of leadership, members of the leadership team in the business. That encourages accountability. It's also built into the annual corporate plan. And lastly, in the shareholder compact between ourselves and TPE, key aspects of LTTS are built into that shareholder compact. So there is just no way that management and the board will not prioritize and deliver the LTTS this time around. Chairperson, there was a question asked about the new fleet. There is the current acquisition of narrow-body planes. That is a deal that was done in 2002-03. When that deal was done, the plan was to start delivering those planes from about July of this year. What was advertised in the media was delivery of two planes, I think, in July, and the remaining eight for the first 10 will be delivered between now and 2017. The question about being top heavy in terms of staff, I have, as recent as end of last week, approved a benchmarking exercise to benchmark our costs across all of the income statement lines against our peers, and I hope that benchmarking exercise is going to clearly point out the areas of focus as far as costs are concerned. And if those costs are outside of acceptable benchmarks, we will deal with them. And I want to emphasize that we won't be looking only at one cost line. We'll be looking at all the cost lines on an income statement. There was a question Chairperson asked about a weak capital base. I think the Minister, the Chairperson, and myself have dealt with it. This hinges on the current discussions between National Treasury, TPE, and ourselves. I remember that one of the reasons the LTTS was developed was a condition on the part of our shareholders that if recapitalization is going to be considered for SAA, it needs to be supported by an LTTS. So the current conversation taking place between those three parties is informed by that. Chairperson, if I can move on to the questions that were asked about the cost of consultants. I unfortunately do not have the exact numbers with me today, but I can provide them later. But the principle I want to address, Chairperson, is the principle that says when we developed this LTTS, it was developed by the board and management. We did not appoint well-known consultants to develop this LTTS strategy. The only role that was played by consultants was to validate certain parts of the strategy. For example, the network plan was validated by respected world organizations to confirm that the network plan is right for our organization. The financial modeling that the chairperson referred to, the validation was done by a respectable expert organization in that area. But the bulk of development of the LTTS document, as mentioned by the chairperson, was developed by a joint team made up of the board and management. Chairperson, if I may ask the DG to help me with the question around the one board, if the integrated airline group is created.
No, I thought that the CEO actually answered the question because this is the sort of detail that still has to be developed, the nature of this animal, this new animal, in terms of corporate structure, legal form, and all of those details still have to be developed. So I think it would be premature to be specific. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, we should leave out the details on the holding structure because it's an idea for now. I think we can get into that at a later.
And then, Chairperson, there was a question asked about rules that are loss-making. I thought that we had answered that question during our presentation. Management has clearly identified the rules that are making losses. We're engaging with the shareholder and their experts in this area, and they will help us identify those routes that are crucial to the success of the South African economy, and they'll also identify those routes that are crucial to the success of the South African economy. Once we have that clear guidance, we will then pull the plug on those routes that are not considered to be important. The airline strike, do you want to handle that one, Chair? Okay. The airline strike, we've had two strikes, one for main SAA, and the second one, the recent one, only focused on the technical division of SAA. Both those strikes have been resolved. I would also like to report that during both strikes, there was minimum disruption to airport operations. And I want to congratulate the management team for their emergency plans to ensure that there was minimum disruptions to passengers who use our services.
Through you, in the particular aspect of strike, the board is looking at how best we can develop a strategy whereby when we address the issue of the labor in strike, it is a sustainable plan because it appears that every year we go through the same process and we believe that the strike should not affect our operations. Therefore, we are looking at that and the SAPS is helping us together with SAA and the PPE would be also coming in whereby we come together and say how best can we address the issue going forward. Thank you.
Chairperson, there was a question about involving staff in the LTTS. That has been done, but as the head of the business, I'm not satisfied. I think there's more work that needs to be done, either in the form of communication through the electronic media with the staff or the head of the business engaging directly with staff. I will be doing that. And that is important because from my perspective, if you want any change program to be successful, you want to mobilize and develop your people to unleash their competencies, their creativity, and commitment to get things moving forward. I have great appreciation for that. Chairperson, I think I have covered most of the questions that were asked. Thank you.
Chairperson, unless I didn't hear it, I don't think I heard anything about the 12-year plan, the targets and
being set so that we can do the monitoring and then the up and running of the implementation office. The monitoring.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I was under the impression that we were coming here today as the Portfolio Committee to get a full briefing from SAA about things that we need information about, things that have been in the media, and things that are worrying the South African public. So that's why when we ask for issues of detail, I think we are perfectly in our rights to expect certain answers to be provided to us, considering the turnaround strategy is now sitting directly in front of us. And Chair, that's why I don't think it is an unreasonable question for me to ask how much money SAA feels that they still need to recapitalize their program. I don't think it's unfair to ask what routes need to be cut. We should have this information if they have the turnaround strategy. And Chair, we should know, are they running at a loss or at a profit to date? These are questions of detail that are in the turnaround strategy that should be in front of us.
Honourable Maria, were you after Mkwena? Okay.
Yeah, Chairperson, thanks for second by the chair. Two quick points. Number one, just to emphasize the fact that there's a vindication in the policy of the government. In making money available or resources available to capacitate state-owned companies. The classical example is the son of Dinel. You know there was a time when Dinel was a Cinderella thing. Nobody wanted to talk about it. Even the CEO, the previous CEO, ran away from briefings here. You know, it was such a big disgrace. But then the new CEO, Mr. Sarucci came up with and his board came up with a wonderful strategy, turnaround strategy, and we appreciate it and we support it as a portfolio committee. We even in the MTBPS motivated supporting the minister that the National Treasury should give them more money, and they gave that money that turned out the mission. And look at what that has happened done. It has turned around. Dinel is now very sustainable and is doing very well, and even his competitors are admiring it. It just shows that as politicians, we must be prepared to understand that there are certain cases where you need to be very bullish and bold and throw in money, not just to placate the situation, but because of the long-term view that if you inject money there are other results that are going to come. Ordinarily, if we are very, very petty politician, we say, no, that's enough, we've had enough of you now, no more money, and it means Dinel, that glorious technology of Dinel and Kamasi would have just died, would have lost it. That's number one. Now, linked to that is the fact that we must be very sympathetic to the fact that SAA needs, it's a national company, and it needs financing from time to time, and that's not throwing money into the drain, because the economic spin-offs of SAA cannot be quantified in terms of trips to and fro, because it is like the bloodstream in the economy of the country. You see, there are so many indirect benefits there. You need to have the CEOs of other companies to actually come up and say, this is how much we're benefiting from having this national carrier. That's not to say throw money blindly. That's the second point. The third point, I want to sound a bit controversial here. The routes that are said to be non-economical, yes, there are those that clearly go to coal, but there are others that I think we must be very careful not to scrap, because it took a long time, a lot of money has been invested in creating them, and so don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's linked to the first point I made, that some of the benefits, economic spin-offs, cannot be quantified by simply taking a calculator and just saying we're losing so much, et cetera, you know. And of course, that links clearly to the route between Durban and Cape Town. Now that route has got to be brought back in the business last week for the sake of business and tourism. So, yeah. I thought I might just raise those issues. Consider them.
Just three issues. One, any company, when they have a long-term turnaround strategy, not necessarily go to public and make it known in public, because all your competitors will sit there and listen to what your strategy is. And it will be foolish to put in a public all your commercial secrets and your commercial sensitive information. So I don't think we can expect from SAA to put a strategy in place where in the public domain where you give away your competitive advantage. So I think it's we must accept this strategy as a beginning of a phase, the beginning of a new implementation phase to turn the company around. And our job is to monitor the implementation. So I would suggest that the strategy, what you are able to provide in the public domain is now in the public domain. And the important issue now is implementation. You need to implement. And this is where I think Parliament will come in. Because you cannot oversee yourselves. You need to be overseen by the DPE and by Parliament. And we will expect from you to come and report to Parliament on the implementation of your strategy. And in that, when we call you for a hearing, we will ask you specific hardcore questions on how far have you developed. And then in your implementation plan, we need to know what you want to implement over what period of time, the who, the what, the when, the where, the cost. And once you come us to report to us, we can evaluate and go into a discussion with you. And as far as the recapitalization is concerned, if I understand yourselves and the minister correctly, this is an ongoing discussion between you and the National Treasury. The 5 billion was part of the agreement with Treasury to produce this turnaround strategy, which you've done now. And we need to give you room and space to implement it. Next month is a medium-term budget policy statement by the Minister of Finance in the National Assembly. So there we will get more indications. So I think it's unfair for the committee to expect from the CEO or the board to answer the questions on the recapitalization. It's an ongoing process to be discussed. It's not in your hands, unfortunately.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Thank you, Chairperson. There are two other questions that were brought up about the routes that need to be cut. We have made recommendations to DPE, and DPE is in discussions with other departments that are going to be affected by our recommendations. It would be unfair of me to disclose what those routes are until that discussion between DPE and those affected departments is concluded. I'm certain that once those discussions have been concluded and there's a decision, when we next come here, we will disclose that information to this committee because we respect this committee. The only reason we're not able to share that information is because decisions have not been made. The matter is under discussion. On the question about what is the year-to-date financial performance of SAA, that is information that has not been made publicly available. Because we have not sat down and presented our numbers to our shareholder. Once that process has taken place, as we've done in the past, those numbers will be released to the public. So we're not deliberately keeping information away from this committee. We're respecting protocol.
No, I thought just assist with a few questions. The question around the targets, we have asked SAA to break down the specific targets in terms of the implementation of this strategy so that those can then be incorporated in the shareholder compacts and then the corporate plan of the company. So that's going to be the approach. That's going to be the approach that the commitments that are in the strategy will be reduced to specific deliverables that will be monitored on an annual basis in the context of the shareholder compact. I thought that the CEO did say that, and I think that
the success in monitoring the implementation will depend on how the extent to which we succeed working with the airline to reduce the commitments into specific deliverables. Chair, some of for the obvious reasons which I think Honorable Gurunov has covered effectively, so some of the issues raised can only be answered by way of principle. When you look at the capital base of the business of SAA, those who know the airline and follow it all acknowledge, even some of the consultants that have been consulted, all acknowledge that SAA has a weak capital base. And that is the structural challenge that needs to be addressed to put the airline on a sustainable financial footing going forward. Because if you don't do that, then you continue with the practice periodically of giving guarantees or giving only so little, which the airline uses to address an immediate problem, but does not take out the business out of a crisis situation in the long term, that we will never solve a problem. And the airline is placed in the unenviable position of always having to come back again when they confront the problem. And the problems, as we know, sometimes the Jaina's factors, like shifts in exchange rates, the cost, a big part of the cost of the airline are in foreign currency, or shifts in the price of fuel. So those small shifts, typically based on the weak capital base of the airline, sit in a difficult position. So they are always going to have to come back unless we solve that problem. And I think what the LTTS has done, it has given us a framework to deal with that issue. It was difficult to deal with it in the abstract without knowing what the future of the airline is. Where does the airline see itself, you know, in the next 5 years, in the next 20 years? Now the airline has given us that, which gives us the proper framework to take very big decisions about the financial requirements of the airline. And so I'm hoping that the discussion that we're having with the Treasury will have two components. The first component will be the immediate requirements of the airline, given the challenges which it has come up from, you know, the oil price and exchange rates. So there are immediate requirements. And then there will be the medium to long term addressing of the capitalization of the business. To come to the routes, again, I think that if you look at the route network, you will see that some of those routes, the decision to launch those routes was not one which the company has thought through rigorously, has adopted a proper decision matrix to say, is it profitable, is it developmental, in that type of thing. There's been a lot of ad hocery in the decisions to launch certain routes, and that's a legacy issue. You know, every ambassador of South Africa in all of the countries where they are want SAA to fly there. And some of them, under certain situations, they are influential. They do get a decision to have the airline fly there. But in truth, when you look at where the airline is, the challenges it faces, and so on, some of those routes actually really should not have been launched in the first in the first instance. And so now we are saying, let's have a clear basis, a clear criteria. What is the criteria upon which each route is going to be launched, each new route is going to be launched? What is the calculation? Both commercial calculation, diplomatic, developmental calculation, geostrategic considerations, all of those things will be put out there, and there will be a balancing act. And where there may be compelling geostrategic or diplomatic reasons why perhaps a certain route should be maintained, but it's commercially not viable, we'll then have to ask, because how is it going to be funded? How is it going to be sustained? So we want to take each of these routes and subject them to that test, so that we can arrive at an optimal network that will have both commercial viability or commercial rationale to it, and then of course these other considerations which Honorable Mokoena has addressed. So that will be, I think, the approach going forward, and we will hope to maintain that discipline, because elsewhere in the world, those airlines that also have a dual mandate are able to achieve that because they have that discipline, which the airline has not had in the past. Thank you.
Thank you. I think in the absence of any further questions, in fact, we have only two slides. I think this brings us to the end of this part of the meeting. But I must thank the board for having finally concluded on this turnaround strategy. And I think maybe I should say that the turnaround strategy is not actually a solution to the challenges that the airline is facing, but it just gives us a basis from which to work. You know? So that's why all the details that people are looking for, you won't find them in the strategy. I think you just gave a good example. If the strategy says we must look at, it doesn't say this is what we have to look at. The details of what we have to look at. It says we have to look at areas that are wasteful. So we'll have to look for those areas that are wasteful. If it's routes, which routes are those? We'll have to identify those routes and then come to a very well-informed decision as to the reasons why you say these ones are wasteful. But I think from where I sit, I can with confidence say this is a very good strategy, which will need the support of all of us. we all have a responsibility to see to the success of this strategy. I think Honorable Bowman's question that, you know, how are we going to, what is our checklist? Because we must be able to say that, but you see, you said in 6 months this would have happened. So as we engage, we want to be able to say, no, but it's almost April now, and you said by the end of April, are you still on course? You know, if there are problems, so that we all together address those problems, so that we achieve the April deadline. So, I think CEO, everybody has congratulated you on your appointment. It's not going to be an easy ship to steer, but I just want to remind you that, you know, and I want to say to you that we are all South Africans here. And I sometimes say to members who do not use SAA, that you don't, if your house leaks, go and live next door. just because your roof is leaking. You have to fix the roof. So we can't run away from it, you know. If you have challenges, let's discuss those challenges. Don is abandoned and leave it to think. Our work that we have as a country to address all the challenges that we have inherited. Can you imagine if all of us just have to run away all the time? You know, so I can only, I wish you all the strength, all the wisdom, good health, so that you succeed in doing your work in SAA. But the board is also somehow new now, so I also want to wish the board well. let's make this strategy work for our country. Let us not fail our people. When we have challenges, if it's the law, you know, bring it to us so that we can amend that law. But let's not run away. Anyway, good luck with the implementation of the strategy, but I'm saying we are together. So this brings us to the end of this part of the meeting. We now to members of the committee will remain to consider and adopt the draft minutes and the report, the oversight report of Midupi. Oversight report to Midupi. Let's take a 3 minute break, and then we'll be back.
Honorable member,
with the visit, an overview of our visit
but to also highlight the strike that took place during our visit then, and how ESCOM handled the matter. Page 2.1, it basically details our interaction with the different stakeholders on the day, meeting with the ESCOM leadership, which gave us 2.1.1, which is the overview of the Medupi project, just an overview of what it, the capacity of the project itself in terms of power production, it is anticipated, the number of contractors that are being employed there, and the cost of the project. Secondly, it also gives us the challenges, just in brief, that related to the announcement of the December deadline for the Unit 6 not being introduced for synchronization. And also gives a thing about the supply of water from the Mokolo Dam, that it was the Mokolo Dam from the Crocodile River will initially supply Medupi with its water requirement. But there's other sources of water that will be used then. A number of issues are also interacted as being part of the major technical challenges to completing the project on time, which including the technical challenges, which 2.1.2 deals with. 2.1.2 deals with the, it basically highlights the challenges that have been presented to the committee. The first one being the control and instrumentation. It highlights that in December 2012, Alstom failed, which is, Alstom is one of the contractors there, failed the factory acceptance test on the boiler protection system for the third time, critical to commencing hot commissioning, which is also part of the processes leading to the synchronization. And then the boiler protection system had to undergo substantial redesign. It's one of the reasons for the delay. And then there was also an issue of the post-weld heat treatment that relate to a subcontractor of Hitachi having failed to heat treat a large number of wells with the appropriate procedures. And then multiple wells had to be tested and wells need to be tested and insufficiently treated wells required replacement. The other reason was the welding procedure qualification record. A subcontractor of Hitachi manufactured certain high-pressure part equipment according to incorrect weld procedures and needed to be replaced. And then also the electrical system that related to the access that many contractors were struggling with access that prevented contractors from completing the required work. And then the balance of plant mechanicals, which related to the fire water system delayed by fabrication and part work, and compressed air pipe routing had not been completed. 2.1.3 deals with the interventions to remedy the situation that ESCOM has made, several interventions. The interventions ESCOM has made and how it worked very well with Hitachi and Alstom to remedy the situation and put in extra time and also resources to remedy the situation and make sure that they reach the targets, and also that ESCOM has worked on ensuring that all stakeholders have agreed, working on establishment of a new partnership agreement which replaces the closure labor agreement, which deals with issues of skills development, wage standardization, dispute resolution mechanisms, and dialogue. 2.1.4 basically deals with the successes that have been in the project. These are mainly technical milestones that the project has undergone. Page 4, it's the financial position of the project that it has stuck. It was stated that the cost of the project rose by 13.76 billion, from 91.24 billion to 105 billion. And then some of the contributing factors have been the increase in the total basic cost of packages, due to extension of time and additional work, is this stop that, an increase in owners' development costs due to delayed demobilization of workers as a result of project delays, and other increases are attributed to the Medupi Labor Leadership Initiative, escalations and cost cover and exchange rate adjustments. 2.1.6, some of the project management initiatives that have been taken by ESCOM. Basically, these are all the forums to ensure that there's synergy and working together among all the stakeholders. 2.2, the meeting with organized labor. 2.2 basically gives a summary of some of the issues that labor raised, which is inconsistency on site with regards to the implementation of the partnership agreement. Continuous bashing of the organized labor, the composition of the LPLA, which has initially excluded ESCOM, the disregard of dispute resolution procedures and labor legislation by contractors, and the non-implementation of an agreement to pay local workers commuting a commuting allowance of 250 per kilometer by 1st of July 2013. And 2.3 basically deals with the meeting with the main contractors and summarizes only the key issues from that particular meeting and the contractors that the committee has met. In particular, of concern was the Touchy Power Africa that reported that a subcontractor had manufactured certain high-pressure part equipment according to incorrect welding procedures. Basically, it gives reference to what was said reported before on the challenges, and that the matter has been handed over to the law enforcement agencies. Hitachi and ESCOM are working together to replace the incorrect welding and validate the qualified welding procedures. Then also, with regards to Alstom, Alstom has also brought in additional experienced partner to rectify the problem. And then ESCOM has assisted ESCOM with a team of engineers that went to France to ensure that the test succeeded. And then ACTROM Divisional, for them to be successful, they mentioned that they needed access to information from the other contractors and physical access to certain areas where the cables needed to be laid. ACTROM needs to install approximately 40 kilometers of cable. And generally, all the contractors complained about the following issues: the violent and destructive protests by employees and the work stoppages that affected productivity and caused the delay of the project, financial losses due to the delays and mistakes that have been committed, poor relationship with organized labor, and then Hitachi and Alstom systems needed to be completed before Alstom could commence with the cabling. And the observations have been divided upon the three stakeholders that we've engaged with. Among some of the observations, it's particularly for ESCOM, the committee was concerned, obviously, with the announcement that the synchronization of Unit 6 has been delayed to June 2014. But was encouraged that ESCOM was still determined to successfully completing the Unit 6 by December 2013. And also commended ESCOM for having replaced the German welders who were initially imported at the beginning of the project with the welders that had been produced by ESCOM. Acknowledged that ESCOM has established several stakeholders, structures to deal with challenges of all stakeholders, but was concerned that the structures had not yielded the intended results. It noted that was concerned that the company, which is ESCOM, was unable to monitor and inspect the work of contractors and verify the quality of work in order to protectively intervene. Noted with that the exclusion of ESCOM from the project labor agreement as a partner had contributed to the poor employee relations and the violent and destructive protests. Noted with concern that ESCOM was lenient on imposing penalties to underperforming contractors who delayed the project. acknowledge and welcome the initiative to review the broader labor agreement into a partnership agreement, but was concerned that the inability to enforce compliance was among stakeholders. Noted was concerned the rollout effect of the delay for the synchronization of Unit 6 on the rest of the project. Acknowledged that there was a security company contracted on site, but there was no capacity to control and manage protest actions. For the contractors, the committee was concerned with the unacceptable behavior of the subcontractor who have fraudulently and unprocedurally performed the post-weld heat treatment. Yes. And was happy that the matter had been reported to the law enforcement agencies. The lack of adherence to labor legislation and inhuman treatment, lack of respect for organized labor by some contractors. That seven contractors of the project are on a business rescue intervention. Inability of the contractors to manage employee relations and avert protest actions. For organized labor, the committee noted the following concerns: the unacceptable, violent, and destructive protest actions that led to damage to property and severe injuries to fellow employees, that organized labor was not united, generalized issues, and made inflammatory statements that could induce further violent protests, inconsistent communication, and the lack thereof from contractors to organized labor. Has created lack of trust among partners and has worsened relations. Organized labor felt undermined as ESCOM and the contractors failed to acknowledge and respond to their demands in reasonable time. The recommendations for ESCOM: the Minister of Public Enterprises should ensure that ESCOM resolve the outstanding issues for the completion of the partnership agreement, which are the site-specific agreements between organized labor and contractors in order to improve the relations and governance problems on site. ESCOM intensifies monitoring and inspection of the quality of work and on-time performance of all contractors, ensures that there are harsher penalties for underperformance and non-delivery of contractors. Improves communication with the public as well as stakeholders. When something happens at Midupi, ESCOM should be the first to inform the public and not the media, and that was how information was got distorted. ESCOM will address the report of the work stoppages of 24 July 2013 and of any possible consequences thereafter for the project. ESCOM should initiate action against those workers who caused the damage to property and injury to people on the 24 July 2013, and ensure that there are consequences for workers who cause this. The Minister of Public Enterprise should ensure that for contractors, they adhere to labor legislation and treat workers with respect, perform their duties with the highest level of ethical and professional standards, deliver on the performance targets, and are penalized severely for non-performance. And that labor does not delay this project any further, and action be taken against those workers who have cause damage to property and injury to people.
We say 1, and it's the third bullet. It says, acknowledge that ESCOM had established several structures to deal with challenges of stakeholders, but was concerned that the structures had not yielded the intended results. It's really precious that those structures, you know, doesn't yield any results. Now, I don't think we could say that. That wildcat strike arose. But I think if we just refer to that, it was disappointing that that had arisen despite, you know, the structures in place.
Voorzitter, ik is baar beïndruk van die verslag van die secretaris en van de EBD bekwaamheid. Die verslag is baar bevredigend. Ik is tevreden daarvan. Number 1. Number 2, op die derde pagina daar, you make some confusion about the PLA and the LPA, the Project Labor Agreement. Yeah, I'm very impressed with the way you've captured the report. I mean, you have a very sharp mind. So be consistent there. Don't say LPA, PLA, so it's the Project Agreement. That's number 1. Number 2, we must not be too lenient with that subcontract of Hitachi in describing the messes cost there, the business cost there, and say, well, inappropriate, well, you know, that you might have issued falsified certificates. That's how serious this is. That's fair. That company went to Joburg, all the way from Lipalale, went to some corner, some shady agent there of certification, say, look, here's a bunch of certificates, 9,000 well that are done. So please just okay this, because you are authorized to okay. When they see your certificate, your signature, they'll say the work is well done, even if the work was not properly done. So it's so serious that ESCOM has taken drastic action, calling the police, the hawks, etc. So we must use the word falsify. It's not a mistake. It's intentional falsification of the welding.
Page 4, 215, the cost escalation. It's always good practice to put over what period. 215, first paragraph, cost escalation. We must just put over what period. Thank you. this you mean the social economic impact of Kusile. So then, if it's Madupi, it must be moved away from 2.2. On page 4, the 3.4, we just dealt with it. It's a partnership agreement. Okay, now it's fine.
In our program for the term, we've got a that joined a spring school with the Department of Public Enterprises. They'll be doing it with the Center for Public Enterprises from the University of Johannesburg. So we are going to send you by the end of today or tomorrow some of the logistical arrangements and that. But otherwise, for next week, from Tuesday to Friday, will be somewhere in the Western Cape. We're moving from Tuesday to Friday, to Thursday. By Thursday evening, we'll be done. We'll come back Thursday. We'll give you more details over the course of the day.